There may only be a few weeks left in the spring session of the legislature, but local government leaders have a big dream. They want a bill passed that would let counties, after passage of a referendum, levy a half-cent sales tax to maintain their local streets, roads, and bridges. So I want to thank three leaders of local government organizations, Michael Coles of the Wisconsin Towns Association, Mark O'Connell of the Wisconsin Counties, and Craig Thompson of the Transportation Development Association, for coming in to talk about that bill. Hey, big dreamers, why is this bill needed?
Well, that's a good question, Steve, and it's actually a very easy answer. If we're going to succeed as a state, we need a very strong economy. And to get a strong economy, we need a very strong private sector. So we have to ask ourselves, what is it that the private sector needs to be successful? Well, there's a long list, but three things jump out. Number one, we need capital to grow. We need to have dollars available, cheap capital. Number two, we need smart talent. We need smart young people. And we're pretty good at growing some here. We attract a few. Unfortunately, we're not able to keep as many young, smart people as we will need to in the future, but we need smart talent. But number three, we need very good hard and soft infrastructure. Soft infrastructure like broadband, but the hard infrastructure is transportation. If we're going to be successful in our manufacturing economy, our agricultural economy, our forestry economy, our dairy economy, if we want to get people from point A to point B, if we want people to be able to move their product from Wisconsin to the world, we need a very good, strong transportation infrastructure. And over the past several years, we need to do a better job, and it requires resources.
Well, Craig, your group pushes for transportation progress on a statewide basis. Are you a leader in this for a local option county sales tax because of the frustration in the capital finding a long-term funding solution for state programs? Is this kind of a plan B? If you can't get the state issue resolved, let's aim for local governments?
Well, it's really the local government groups, the Towns Association, and the League, and the Wisconsin counties that are at the forefront of, I think, advocating for this. I think I would view TDA as more of a resource for them and to be able to provide as much information as we can. But we have always advocated that there's a lot of different tools that should be available for all the reasons that Mark just cited, just how important it is for locals to be able to look at funding their infrastructure. If you look at what's happened over the course of the last several decades, the amount that's fallen onto the local property tax on for the towns and for the counties and for the cities and villages has continued to increase. And I think you'll see that is something that I think if you ask people across Wisconsin, if that's where they want to see, you know, that much of the cost borne, the answer would be no in terms of the property tax. And also, if you look at across the country, this is not unique. There's just looking at the Cal Berkeley had done a study a little while ago, and 33 states around the country have local option sales taxes for transportation infrastructure. So this is not something that would be unique to Wisconsin.
This is not Plan B, though, Steve.
It's not Plan B.
This does not solve the problem at the state level. We've still got that problem.
The reason I said Plan B, and just in recent interviews, Governor Scott Walker said, I'm opposed to raising the gas tax. I'm opposed to raising the $75 we all pay to register our vehicles. So I'm wondering if you guys are saying if there's still this impasse in funding state transportation programs, we have to come with the local solutions for local governments. Michael.
You know, I think it's a both and situation. We have to have both state funding and local funding. Craig said it. There needs to be a mix of solutions. And this is certainly one of those solutions or part of the solution. It's a tool in the toolkit. So I wouldn't look at it as a plan B. I would look at it as it's one of the nails that we need to drive into the infrastructure solution. It's a start. It is certainly not the end of the discussion if we were to get this. I ran numbers on eight counties. In those eight counties, if you combine GTA, what they get in GTA,
mm-hmm.
General transportation aids in all those situations, the towns are per road mile. If you combine that and this funding, it just gets us into a replacement schedule in a couple of those counties of about 40 years. One county about 140 years, and the rest of those counties, the other five, still just those two funding sources would be at a replacement schedule of infinity, meaning they'd never build a new road, never replace a road. Now, of course, you've got local funding that comes into the mix, but to Craig's point, there's been so much pressure on the levy, the property tax levy, that less and less and less of that goes to local roads. I mean, EMS funding in towns went up 26% over 5 years. Fire funding went up 6%. The only other real big pot we have is transportation. So more and more we're taken away from critical infrastructure, critical to the economy, to address public safety. And ironically, we're creating roads that are not as safe. So is this a plan B? No, this is part of a broader solution that absolutely needs to happen.
Well, let's stay on this a little bit. Again, in the State of the State message tomorrow night, I bet, and I think all you gentlemen will agree, we're going to hear Scott Walker say, we have controlled property taxes. But we have controlled it by continuing to put severe limits on your local governments, correct? Mm-hmm. So the other side of that is a need for a local option sales tax. Mark?
Well, no one likes paying taxes. I don't know of a soul that in my entire lifetime that I've met who says I can't wait until April 15th or December 31 or January 31 or July 1 to pay my taxes. None of us like paying taxes, but it's necessary if we want to have the society that we have now or the society that we want to have in the future, 10, 20, 50, 100 years. Well, part of our responsibility in government is to engage in behavior functions programs which will assist people we will never meet and help generations we're never going to see. Transportation is perhaps one of the best examples of that. We need to build our transportation infrastructure that are going to help people way beyond us, but are going to position our state for future success. So I appreciate very much that those who desire to not pay any additional dollars or put any additional resources into transportation. But the fact of the matter is, transportation, among all other public activities, is perhaps the most visible service of government to the most people in Wisconsin. And we have a responsibility as a state, as cities, towns, villages, and counties, to make sure that that resource is up to the expectations of our citizens. And it costs money. There's no two ways around it. It costs dollars. We need to generate additional resources for the state and for the locals to ensure that our infrastructure is, number one, safe, and number two, positions us for a future. I mean, I would say this, Steve. I want my children to stay in Wisconsin. But in order for that to happen, they need opportunity. We also need a whole host of other things that are attractive to smart young talent, but we need an infrastructure and opportunity. If we don't have that infrastructure that's available to the private sector so that they can succeed and flourish, then the opportunity for my children to stay here is diminished. And I want that for every Wisconsinite.
Well, I'm impressed. The bill number is AB 210. You have an assembly leader and Representative Dean Knutson, who's the chief sponsor. It came out of Assembly Transportation 15-0. You got Democrats from the city of Milwaukee and you got representatives from across the state to vote for it. So now let's talk about Assembly 210. Counties could levy a half-cent sales tax if approved by a referendum. Revenue could only be used to maintain local streets, roads, bridges. Local governments must match their past spending. It's a five-year average. What they've been spending on streets and roads, that's called the maintenance of effort provision. Sales tax could only be levied for 4 years, and after 4 years, voters would have to pass a new referendum extending the tax. You have a very ambitious plan here, AB 210. You got a strong vote out of Assembly Transportation. Representative Knutson told me last week he expects a strong bipartisan vote whenever the Assembly, but you got one Senate sponsor, Senator Tom Tiffany. You got big problems in the Senate, gentlemen?
Well, let's first talk about the Assembly. Representative Dean Knutson has been an incredible leader.
Former mayor of Hudson. Go ahead.
Incredible leader on this issue. He has really taken this and been the champion. And it's not an easy thing to say, I'm going to be the champion of a piece of legislation that generates additional revenue. That's not an attractive place for most folks to be, but he's done that. Why? Because he's a leader. And it's evident. Why is it 15-0? Because transportation is not a partisan issue. There's a lot of partisan issues in the legislature and in the executive branch and between the legislature and executive branch, but transportation is not one of them. And I think that's why we saw a 15-0 vote. Now in the Senate, Senator Tiffany has been very good on this issue. He's been exceptional. Do we have more work to do in the Senate? Oh, absolutely. I mean, I fully expect the Assembly to take favorable action on this. And then we have a lot of work to do in the Senate. Would we like to have had 33 authors in the Senate? Well, sure. But sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. But we're working hard.
Well, are all local governments in favor of this? Yeah. All towns, all counties, all cities, all villages? And here's why I ask. When you go to the registrations at the GAB, City of Milwaukee, neutral on this. Help me understand that.
I think the City of Milwaukee is probably neutral because of some of their concerns about transit and wanting to fund transit.
Okay.
This is going to be a bill that focuses on maintenance. Certainly there is a need for transit in the state of Wisconsin. Certainly there is a need for investment there. This bill doesn't focus on that. This is, as I said before, one of the tools in the toolkit, and we need to continue to focus on some of those other discussions.
The Department of Revenue fiscal estimate says, well, first of all, right now 62 of our 72 counties levy their own half cent, which is it fair to say, Mark, goes for us, operating expenses?
It goes to offset the levy. If we wouldn't have that half cent,
yeah,
the levy would be higher.
Okay. 62 of our 72 now levy the half cent. If those 62 levied this additional for local roads, streets, bridges, it could raise up to $333 million. That's a lot of money. Is that too big of a number for this legislature to act on in the next few weeks, Greg?
Well, again, I don't know that if you're in the legislature, you're acting on a $333 million bill. What you're acting on is simply a change in the law that allows each community to decide whether they want to do that, whether they've determined that the needs are there and that it's worth it to them, that they go to their local government, decide that they want to put the referendum ballot on, and that the voters decide to. They haven't voted to raise one penny if they in fact, you know, would pass AB 210. So I don't think it would be reasonable to assume that, you know, right away 62 or 72 counties all pass those. I think it's going to depend on the area, what they see as their needs and their appetite for moving forward and funding those.
Mark, how come only 60? How come there are 10 Wisconsin counties who have never taken advantage to levy the current half cent that's authorized?
There's a variety of reasons, Steve. I mean, for example, Waukesha, incredibly well-run county. They don't really need the revenue. They keep the levy low, but they don't really need it to offset any levy issues that where there's pressure on the levy. Other counties may have a philosophical position against additional sales tax. There's a variety of reasons. If the legislation were to pass, I think Craig Thompson is correct. We would not have instantaneously 62 or 72 counties pass a referendum. I think instead we would have conversation, a lot of conversation at the local level about, well, exactly what would the dollars go for if we were to pass it in whatever my particular county. And once that list of projects or improvements is identified, then I think you're going to have the local residents say, that I can buy. I can buy into a half cent additional if that's the case. In addition, the legislation, as Craig pointed out, it sunsets after 4 years. So after 4 years, have we done those projects? If we have, great. If we're not quite done, should we continue? Well, the voters will decide that.
Mike, go ahead.
And even if it were a tomorrow vote where the legislature was appropriating $330 million, it wasn't referendum based, we had to increase a tax, however you do it, is there $333 million of work annually out there? Absolutely. Like I said, you know, we looked at eight counties, and the towns in those counties, most of them still would be at a replacement schedule of infinity. And in this state, if we're to have a strong economy, and this legislature has worked very hard at providing tools to develop the economy, if we're going to have a strong economy, I would ask whether or not having a replacement schedule of infinity, meaning that you will live forever and so will all of your grandkids before there is a new road, you'll never have a replaced road. Is that adequate for our economy? I would say no. We have an economy in Wisconsin that's very dispersed. During a presentation for the Secretary of Transportation a few months back, I was asked to talk about town roads and how they're connected to the global economy. It's not hard when you're talking about agriculture, forestry, mining, manufacturing, to connect the smallest town road to China. And we have town roads that the industries rely upon that will never be replaced. They will never be repaved. So are $333 million too much? Absolutely not.
Your towns, your your association is headquartered in northern Wisconsin. So here's my question. Is there a rural-urban split on this issue, Mike?
You know, you would think at first blush there would be, but here's the deal. When we look at our towns throughout Wisconsin, we ran numbers on them. And the worst town in the lowest retail county that we have, we get about $370 per mile. To relate that to where we've been, we got $377 in the last 12 years in GTA. So they're looking at this as, boy, in one vote by the populace, something that's supported by the citizens, we can get as much GTA as we've gotten in the last 12 years combined. So you would think there would be, because urban counties, quite frankly, do a lot better. I think what that means is that those urban counties can choose not to have the referendum passed 4, 8, 12 years down the road, whereas some of those rural counties might have to do it a little bit longer. But it's a significant amount of money where they can actually make some headway relative to where they've been over the last dozen years.
Mark and Craig, let's talk about how the funding formula here.
Yeah.
So if a referendum authorizes a half cent in a county, it would have to be countywide, then how would the proceeds, what that raises, be divided?
You want to kind of work through the formula?
Sure. There's a distribution mechanism that would look at within the county for the municipalities, you know, how many miles they have and sort of how they're ranked for their classification in terms of what type of traffic you're getting on it. And there's a formula that derives from that that would share the money among all the municipalities within the county to try to keep up those in those conditions.
Based on the number of miles maintained by each of those local governments, Craig?
Right. And not just their miles, but the way they're classified. So that, you know, a road that has, you know, three cars drive over it every day, it doesn't get the exact same as a car that has 5,000.
Is there a factor that the local streets and roads in one county may be in much worse shape than in a neighboring county? So it's just purely on number of miles.
Yeah, it's not looking at the conditions of the roads. You get into a lot of different arguments about that, whether you would be rewarding ones that haven't invested in theirs versus people that have. It's very hard to get real justifiable data on that if you're going to start funding it based on that. So I think what engineers would tell you and others would tell you is if you look at the classification, you're at least looking at the level of service on those roads, and that was a pretty good way to go about it.
When I talked to Representative Knutson, he said the first version of this bill would have let counties and all local governments pass local referendums. Why was that taken out, Mark?
Very cumbersome to administer. You would have quite a patchwork of sales taxes being applied. And I think even with today's computer technology, I guess pretty much a nightmare for the private
sector.
Do I locate it here? Do I charge a sales tax? Do I not? It would be administratively, and it changes because after a certain amount of time, you don't have the, it sunsets, so you'd have to do it again.
Are the problems administering it the reason that the Wisconsin grocers have registered against it, do you think, Mark?
Well, I'd have to look and see what their comments have been. I'm not certain of their rationale.
Okay. You were going to say, Mike?
Well, in addition to the administrative nightmare, can you imagine 1,800 different taxes, sales taxes, because you have 1,800 municipalities plus the counties? Imagine the town that has one tavern or a hardware store. They would not generate enough revenue off of that one establishment to make the sales tax worthwhile, and we would have been creating a whole host of winners and losers in the state of Wisconsin, and there's no way that I think a number of legislators and certainly our association would have been able to support that type of situation.
You mentioned something earlier, Steve, and maybe to get to the politics of the issue. I think over the past several years, the legislature and the governor have established a level of credibility with the citizens of Wisconsin that allows the creation of this kind of legislation, where there's a trust level that if the locals have a say in the matter, that the dollars will be expended properly. I'm not sure we would have had that over the past many years ago, but with the establishment of many of the initiatives that the governor and the legislature have put forward, the economic development initiatives, the jobs creation initiatives, the skills gap we're probably going to hear about shortly, the mental health initiatives. There's been a feeling in the state of Wisconsin that my tax dollars are being spent wisely. So once we have that feeling, and let's compare it to Congress. I don't think Congress has anywhere near that feeling with the American people. But in Wisconsin, the legislature and governor have done a good job. So we're at that place. And that's why, in this case, if this legislation moves forward, I think the citizens of our state are going to look at this with an open frame of mind, and then take action as they deem appropriate.
To that point, towns are in a unique position from a levy standpoint, where if you're a small enough town, you can actually, at a town meeting where all the citizens get together, vote in some extra expenses. And we've had several, not a lot, because it's a tough decision to make to even bring it up. But we've had a number, including one not far from where I live, that just doubled their levy to address roads. And the citizens sat in a room, voted, yep, we're willing to double our levy as long as all of that money goes to addressing roads. And that got them to a replacement schedule of about every 45 years. They'd like to get down to something more reasonable, 20 to 30, but 45 is better than where they were at.
Doubling bought them every 45-year replacement cycle.
Correct.
As opposed to infinity.
Correct.
Are there any average numbers if someone in a county where a referendum passes and there's a new half-cent sales tax, is there average numbers of how much a household or a resident of that county might pay? Have you seen any of those numbers, Craig?
I don't know. You might know better than me, Mark, what a half-cent sales tax per household is.
Well, let's just do the quick math. In the average household in Wisconsin, let's say the average household, on average, we'll even be a little more generous, and we'll say, $70,000.
Okay. I think you're a little high, but go ahead.
That's high. It's very generous. So $70,000, and let's say, be very generous, let's say 60% of everything that family spends, and they spend it all, mm-hmm. is on sales taxable items.
Okay.
So now we're talking about $42,000 worth.
Yep.
So what would a half cent be on $42,000? What's the quick math, gentlemen?
Quick math.
Boy, you were going so well there, I thought you were going to finish
about 10 and a half?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
Very little. Yeah.
Very little.
The answer is very, very little.
Do you think if this bill passes, I want to come back to the passage question because it's a big one. Do you think most of the 62 counties that now have the half cent would quickly move to have a referendum?
No. I don't think they would quickly move. I think they would have quickly move to have conversations with their town partners, and then talk about if they were to advance a question to the public, what types of things would be funded, because that would have to be the campaign.
Right.
In any particular county, we would say, citizens, we'd like you to consider the half cent sales tax. Here are the kinds of things we'd like to do with that.
Here's a list of real concrete that's going to be poured. Streets that are going to be maintained, bridges that are going to be fixed if you raise your taxes?
I think that's where the conversation would go very quickly. And then several months after that, I think we might see referenda.
Well, 62 counties now levy the half cent. If most of these 62 counties, again, levy the half cent authorized under your bill, then you have raised the sales tax from 5 to 6. My question is this. We have, with our 5% state sales tax, one of the lowest in the region.
Mm-hmm.
Would passage of your bill hurt the ability down the line to raise the state sales tax from 5 to 6?
In my opinion, I don't think so. Because I really think in our state, let me answer it, Steve, with a much larger answer. I think we need to go through a critical examination of our sales tax structure in this state. In our state, we apply a sales tax to a relatively small basket of goods, really not services. Yet our economy is ever so rapidly moving to a service-based economy. And while we love every manufacturing job we have, and we want to keep every one of them, our economy is very much moving towards service. I think we need to go through a process legislatively to look at, are we applying the sales tax to the right basket of goods and services? I really think, and Craig and I have done some analysis on this over the years, we really should expand the basket of goods and services which we apply the sales tax. And if we did so, you could actually lower the sales tax, but link up our sales tax structure to where the economy is going. And then as the economy grew, so would the basket of revenue from that goods and services grow. Then the state of Wisconsin has a revenue stream attached to our economy, which they could then use for whatever the legislature determines are the needs of the people.
And my response is every one of those exemptions from the state sales tax has a special interest group fighting to keep it.
It does.
It does.
And there's I think a very easy way to go about resolving this. And Craig and I put together a think tank paper about 10 years ago now. Really, to not get into too many specifics, but if we were going to do this, we might say the sales tax on all items is going to sunset on some date certain. Between now and that date certain, we as a legislature are going to examine all of the exemptions. So come on in, folks from the food industry. It should take us about 3 seconds to determine that that should still be exempt. Folks from the medical industry, it should take us maybe 2.5 seconds to determine that should still be exempt. But when folks come in from other industries, we ought to think about that. And if we're going to sunset that, and we have to take affirmative action to maintain the exemption, that's going to be a different story.
Go ahead, Mike.
Mark addressed it from a global standpoint. Let me dial down just a little bit. I can't remember which state is closest to us, Indiana, Michigan, or Iowa, but they're at 6%. Everybody else is at 7 or above in the Midwest. Yeah. So we're still competitive from a sales tax standpoint. If you were to put in another 0.5% sales tax at the state level and put it into infrastructure, you have to take a look at return on investment. And right now, Craig, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're 35th or 36th in roads in the United States. We do not have the competitive advantage, quality of roads. We do not have a competitive advantage relative to some of these other states in the Midwest. So can we do that? Yeah, I think that's a good question to ask. Where should we put it? In something that's going to provide a return on investment. And certainly roads do that for us from an economic development standpoint.
I believe Representative Knudsen, when he told me he's going to have a strong bipartisan vote out of the Assembly. But does this bill violate any no tax increase promises that certain, we have more than a few, conservatives, GOP senators have made? Does it violate any no tax increase promises they've made, Craig?
Well, that's a really interesting question because, there are some folks that have taken pledges to some national groups, which I think does weigh on their mind. If you look at it from what I've read those pledges, when it goes to local referendum, that satisfies that you did not break the pledge. But some folks still seem concerned about that. But for example, from Grover Norquist's pledge,
yes.
If you go through the language and look, there is something in there that about is if you let it go directly to the voters through a referendum, then it does not violate that. So
okay.
It's an interesting question because I think we're going to see in the future many fewer people engaging in sort of these blanket I will never do this or I will always do that type scenarios, because legislation and policy is very complicated. There is rarely a very bright, thin black line. Generally, it's very wide and very gray. And I think we're going to see more of our policymakers looking at issues from a more futuristic view. Part of it goes to the credibility that I mentioned earlier that has been built up by the governor and the legislature. There's a feeling in our state that the dollars that the state has are being spent wisely. So if there is going to be a need for additional dollars and the mechanism to raise those dollars is going to be an additional amount on the sales tax, mm-hmm. going from 5 to 6, for example, right. I think the citizens they're prepared to say, well, okay, you've been managing the funds pretty well, and if you think we need that and you've explained it and sold it to me, I'm going to go along with that.
I think there's some evidence for that as well. The WMC survey just came out, and they used the word taxes. If we put the money into infrastructure, how many of you would be willing to increase your taxes? It was 54%. Right? Now, they used a pretty red light type of word, taxes. If you would have used a word like revenue or user fees, you probably would have gotten an even greater percent that was supporting it. But I think the public, seeing the critical connection of infrastructure to the economy, seeing the roads that they actually drive down, paying the bill at the auto mechanic when you hit the pothole, which it can be significant. They see all that on a daily basis, and I think they're ready.
Time is short. Two quick questions. If you get this bill through the Assembly, which I think you will, and if miracles do happen and you get it through the Senate, would the governor sign it?
Well, I think that's a good question for the governor. I think when the legislature acts on something, I think the governor has been very good about being deferential in these large public policy matters. So I would fully expect that the governor would give it very serious consideration. I think it would partly depend upon how strong a vote came out of the Assembly and the Senate. I expect a very strong vote out of the Assembly. And if we got to the Senate floor, I would expect the same kind of similar strong vote. And with stronger votes, I think it the governor would take that into consideration.
And then my final question is this. When local officials, assuming the bill passes, local officials say, we need you to vote to raise your sales tax by half, because if you don't, what happens? What's the downside? You turn it down and, Craig, what happens? Finish that.
The infrastructure continues to degrade. When Mike brought up before about us being 35th or 36th, actually the USDOT had a fact sheet on their site recently that has Wisconsin with the third worst highway conditions in the United States of America. WISTAX just did a report card of all of the major areas of the economy and quality of life, and the worst grade on that entire report card was the condition of our highways. It was a D. It will get much worse if we don't, and again, as was pointed out in the very beginning, this does not solve the whole problem even if passed. We have a very significant problem with the state highway system that would have to be addressed as well, but it would continue to degrade.
Mark, your answer, if it doesn't pass?
I don't want to paint a picture of disaster, but if it doesn't pass, we are really saying to future generations, this state is not in a position for success. And if we're not going to be successful as a state, private sector-wise, then fewer opportunities are available, and the next generation of wealth makers in our state are going to look elsewhere. So it's important. We have a responsibility to take care of our infrastructure. That's part of what this bill would do.
And then, Mike, final word?
We're trying to grow jobs, attract people to Wisconsin, attract businesses to Wisconsin. And they're going to look at a number of factors in making that decision. If I'm one of those business owners, I look at how much we invest in some critical public services. I don't think anybody can argue that this isn't one of those. And the lack of investment means that we're not choosing to maximize the ability to attract those new businesses, grow the businesses we have, and attract that young talent that we need to grow our workforce.
A very important debate. I want to thank Mike Coles of the Towns Association, Mark O'Connell of the County Association, Craig Thompson of the Transportation Development Association. I find this fascinating. I'm going to be watching this issue closely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.